Societies around the world recognize child literacy and elementary education as a human right. It's actually guaranteed by the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. And Article 24 of that convention also guarantees this.
State parties recognize the right of the child to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of health and to facilities for the treatment of illness and rehabilitation of health. State parties shall strive to ensure that no child is deprived of his or her right of access to such health care services.
When the Federal Affordable Care Act went into effect 2 years ago, champions of child health care cheered. More children would be covered by their parents' health insurance, pre-existing conditions would be thrown out of the equation, among other issues child advocates had been fighting for. But almost immediately after its enactment, this happened.
The challenge to the president's health care law officially reaches the highest court in the land. A petition filed yesterday asking the Supreme Court justices to take up the case. And this follows last month's split appeals court decision upholding the insurance requirement. And this sets the stage for a possible election year showdown over the president's signature initiative.
The ACA came under fire from Republicans nationwide, and 26 states filed suit against the government, claiming the law was unconstitutional because it mandates insurance coverage. While the Supreme Court decides whether or not the law will stand, child health care advocates await that decision intently. One of them is Jamila Iris Edwards, Northern California director for the Children's Defense Fund. She came by KALW Studios, and I asked her what would happen if the ACA is struck down.
We just recently had a meeting. We have regular calls. We had a meeting where that someone raised that issue. And, you know, like, even though our state has said we're going to keep doing it regardless of what happens, we're like already, you know, have the systems in place and everything's already started. You know, we're thinking to ourselves, all these laws that we've passed on health reform, you know, some of them might say, and we don't know for certain which we do, some of them might say, depending on, you know, what goes on in the federal government, XYZ will go on in California. So now we're trying to think back and wonder, like, okay, what actual pieces will be in place? What will require new legislation? How does the changes in our legislature, the fact that we're changing our primary processes and we're going to have new folks in the legislature after June and people worrying about campaigning, like how will that affect how California's been so supportive of health care reform? But how will what happens with the Supreme Court and whether or not we have to redo things? What's that going to look like? It's very, very scary, very daunting. And, you know, we're trying to put positive energy out there and really recognize that even though there's a lot to worry about and it may not work if the individual mandate, because that's the big issue with the Supreme Court is this individual mandate.
Right.
We don't know quite yet what's going to happen. But the thing that we're really hopeful about is that our state's administrative officials have said that they're going to keep going. And so that's kind of what we're holding on to. And it's business as usual because technically it's still law. And we're hoping that'll continue.
Right. And so part of that positive energy, let's go on along those lines and talk about to what extent have children in California benefited from the Affordable Care Act so far within the last 2 years?
It's been great. I would say I think of it in two buckets. There's prevention and then there's protection. And if there's one thing that, you know, we could take away from today, it's that our healthcare system simply cannot continue to absorb people just treating symptoms and treating disease. And the Affordable Care Act recognizes it and has huge investments in prevention for children especially. So there's investments in the prevention on kind of the primary, there's the primary care side, so giving people access to more primary care options. For children, that means no co-payments for preventive services, immunizations, well baby checkups, those necessary things for primary care. But also healthcare reform invests a lot of money in primary prevention. So there's what's called community transformation grants. So there's these investments for community-based organizations, for public health agencies, for providers to do things in their community so that people don't get sick.
Like what? Are we talking about mainly nutrition and exercise campaigns?
That's one way. There's a variety of things that can fund community transformation grants can fund a variety of things. So examples would be like things that would kind of anti-obesity efforts, healthy Making your community more walkable, making bigger, increasing access to healthy foods, whatever the organizations can do to really improve the condition of their community. That's what the Affordable Care invests in. There's also the fact that kids can stay on, well, young people can stay on their parents' health insurance until they're 26.
Which is a point of contention as well.
Yeah, exactly.
If they're staying until 26 years old, that's an extra cost.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is why we have to have equal and in some ways, I think more sometimes investment into prevention, because we just can't absorb all the new people without trying to stop them from having to come into the system as it is. Once you get diabetes, you have diabetes for the rest of your life. You know, you can't cure that. So there's that. There's investments in even going back early childhood and infant care, and really kind of connecting providers with those communities that are at risk. There's strong investments in school-based health centers, which is something that we see here in the Bay Area a lot, especially in Oakland. There's this proliferation of school-based health centers because really the idea is to bring care to where the kids are. So that's happening. These are all things that are happening now. And then there are protection sides. There's the fact that now you can't deny children insurance because they have a pre-existing condition. You can't drop someone from their health insurance because they get sick. You can't impose lifetime kind of dollar limitations on children's health care. This is all things that are happening now, that there's a variety of stories out there about how children are benefiting now from health reform.
Hmm. And so as the Supreme Court makes its decision, if things are the ball is already rolling pretty much in California, it sounds like it'll be pretty hard to just stop it from rolling if somebody's in the middle of a program funded by the ACA.
Right, exactly.
You know, and they're doing well. What would happen to me if this law is struck down?
Right.
So those are the kind of decisions that you need to make. What do we keep? What do we, you know, how do we change the law? How do we not change the law, but kind of make our own provisions locally?
Exactly. Exactly. And the question is, you know, what is the state going to do? Is the state going to do its own individual mandate? You know, if you think of like San Francisco, for example, you know, has its own health system and their own universal health care. So there's an example of a city that, you know, regardless, is going to go on ahead with, you know, continuing to provide health care to all. We're hoping that stays in California. But again, there's so many different moving targets. There's elections coming up. There's this ongoing budget battle that we have. There's whether or not kind of the governor's propositions will pass. There's a lot of things that, you know, we as kind of a coalition with working with these other groups really kind of have to keep our eye on as we're waiting for the Supreme Court's decision, because we don't know, you know, what will happen. We know that it looks like folks, our leaders here are still interested in being the lead car. So we're hoping that continues.